Yeah, where do we start? I mean, I know you firstly I'm just gonna introduce myself, Quinta. Yeah, I'm Quinta. I don't wanna give away my I don't wanna start out with my job description. No. I'm Quinta and I'm a creative, I'm a writer and a human being, and I work with Peter on this podcast. Take it away.
Hi. So thanks, Kunta. I'm Peta. Peta has in full, but everyone has butchered that. So I just do Peta for shorthand. I'm also a writer and a creative, doubles and dabbles in a lot of things, including this. And yeah, we're very excited to have this conversation with you as filmmaker and a producer, Black woman, and just like, you know, getting to know one another through the things that we enjoy and the things that
Yeah,
we make.
100%. Absolutely. Can you... Oh, so
Stephanie.
is it Stephanie? Like, because there's the accent at the end.
Stephanie. Yeah, the actual pronunciation is Stephanie, but I no one pronounces it that way, so it is Stephanie. As long as no one calls me Stefan, I'm happy.
There.
It's Stephanie, but Stephanie is what everyone calls me. So I'm not precious as long as it's not Stefan. I'm Stephanie Alexandra. I'm a mother. I have a little human who is turning
Oh.
six this Saturday. I am a producer and an emerging director. And I've been telling stories for as long as I can remember through film. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Love
That's
that.
beautiful. And how did you find out about us? Because I know you approached Peter.
So I have no idea. I think you guys were on this when I was getting ready for our screening in America, that I was looking for Black female focused kind of creatives who do podcasts and
Oh.
talk about film and the landscape. And I found you guys, and I listened to one of the podcasts. Just found you guys so funny. I think it was the one you were talking about, Black Panther. So that was quite interesting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Reached out, yeah.
And yeah, I've gone through some of the stuff that you've done. I noticed that you did Drunk History, which is, I still think, happening.
Yes, they are filming season two as we speak. Yes.
Okay. And then your EPK and all sorts of things you've done. I can't believe your CV or your resume. It's amazing. Like, you literally are working my dream jobs. Yeah, really.
Agony.
I definitely like in the What do you mean?
even
We don't speak.
the what was it, evolution of Black music in the UK was really cool, and like from ads to film and yeah, like you've done really amazing work.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Thank
Yeah.
you. How do
Thank you.
you feel about it though? Like, are you when you, because it's always a difficult thing for me, I think. I guess introducing myself and just speaking about the work that I do and why I chose it, so I'm just interested in how you got into being a creative, because I do think it is something that I don't think if I didn't want to be a creative, I'd do this with no money, first of all, but it's also like doubly difficult because there are not a lot of regulations, and yeah, so how did you get into this part?
I think it's a really interesting question, and when I get asked it, I always realize how blessed I have been to always know that I wanted to do what I do. From a very young age, I've always known I wanted to tell stories through film and television. And when I was 14, we had work experience for 2 weeks, and we had to go to the library and go through the yellow pages and pick where we wanted to go. And I
I stumbled across working title films, and that's where I ended up. And I was 14, super, super confident. And I landed a meeting with Tim Bevan, who is one of the co-founders with Eric Fellner. And I sat in his office and he asked me what I wanted to do when I grow up. And I said, I wanted to be just like him. I said, I want to be just like you. I want to make films. And so he arranged with the chaperone who was working there called Fatima at the time to take me to Pinewood Studios to be on set for Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason. And just being in Pinewood and seeing all the film posters and just seeing something come to life and the process, I was like, this is 100% what I wanted to do. So I've always kind of known that I would do what I'm doing now. And so every sort of decision I've made in my career has always been leading towards me being able to be in the position that I am now, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, how do you want to do this? Do we want to get into the questions? Where do you want to, how are you seeing this work, Peter? I'm thinking.
I think like as much as there are questions, I do enjoy the looseness of how we started and just, you know, having a conversation around film and your career and, you know, just what's happening in the UK when it comes to TV and making and music and all kinds of things that are happening there. Because I do know that, you know, one of our first questions was around what film made you want to be a filmmaker, which you already, you know, kind of answered. So we don't necessarily stick to
I
the
wouldn't say
question.
that. I wouldn't say Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason is the film that inspired me to want to be a filmmaker. I wouldn't say that's true.
Okay, what was
Is
the
there
film
one?
that made you make a
I would say a series of shows that I'm watching. Being British, a lot of our lens, Black British, from the African diaspora, a lot of our lens here came from America. So I grew up on Sister Sister, all of us, my wife and kids, Moesha, the Parkers. And that's where I was like, this is my dream was to be like one of them. I wanted to be like cast in the Parkers. You know,
Gosh, I
I wanted to be Kim's sister. You know, I wanted
listen, Kim
to be my
was
mom.
one of my favorite comedic characters, Kim, hey. Better
I
than Moesha by leaps and bounds.
and that,
Like Kim was amazing.
yeah, and I know, like, even for Quentin and I, we talk so much about how that for us felt like the golden age of like Black TV, because we did have shows in South Africa, but we also got a lot of shows from the US that played on like our local SABC ones and things like that. And that was really a time where we just saw ourselves on screen a lot in different variations and different ways. And like all of those shows are still so good to watch and rewatch over and over
Yeah,
again.
still so amazing.
Absolutely.
Feels like they're getting better with, you know, the rewatch, because a lot of rewatching is happening today, and it's like I'm actually glad to be able to rewatch these shows here.
Same. Yeah, with an adult lens.
Right, and realizing what the jokes meant that we didn't quite understand then.
But we
100%.
laughed out loud.
Yeah, I agree. It's
All
so
right.
nice to rewatch and but yeah, that is really where I, you know, Taina, like all of those shows were the shows that I wanted to be part of. I didn't know in what capacity when I was like 11, 10 watching these shows, but I was like, this is 100% what I want to do. I want to be involved in this. And so yeah, that's essentially where I draw a lot of my inspiration from is what I grew up on. And it's like when I was 16, I remember my aunt bought me The Color Purple, Soul Food, and Boys in the Hood on DVD. And that's when I was like, okay, let's go. And I started learning about, you know, these characters, Brown Sugar, and that kind of just sparked my lens. We didn't have that here. We still don't really have that here. Like our first rom-com that had cinematic release was last year, which is mad. in the UK that was Black Leagues, which was Boxing Day. So we're still in 2022, 2023, figuring it out. It's, yeah, it's bonkers.
What about Netflix?
Yeah.
Is Netflix give me the opportunity to, like, is Netflix creating that environment where black filmmakers can come through? Are there opportunities, more of those right now at all?
I don't know if Netflix is necessarily creating those opportunities. I think a lot of content is available on the platform. In terms of Netflix originals, I can't really speak to what they are doing for Black British creators personally. But I do know that we have got all our rewatches on Netflix, and I am so grateful for the sister and all of the shows that we love and grew up on being acquired by them. So, yeah.
Oh, no. I'm just like listening to everyone talk.
Okay, so question number two, for people who don't know what your career, about your career, have you had any highlights? You must have. What would you consider your career wins as a person with this amazing career?
My highlight. I don't feel like I've had my highlight moment yet, but I do feel I've had beautiful moments in my career where I've looked at something and I'm like, this is how I want to tell stories. This is how I want to run a set. This is how I want to run a production. And I walk away and I have joy and I'm satisfied. And I think that's the beauty about what we do, is we tell these stories and we invest in them. We put our lives, our souls into them for a season, and then we release them into the world. And there's nothing more we can do once you've got your picture lock and it's edited and it's good to go, it's graded, sound design, it's out. And once it's out, it's history. And that's the greatest highlight, I think, of most productions, is to be able to walk away and be like, I was part of making that story. I was part of telling that story. And I got to work with people I care about and I love doing so. So I think that's kind of where I draw my highlights. I think right now, today, my highlight is my short film, The Perfect Night, you know, and I self-funded that. I got to a point where I was tired of filling out application forms, asking people to see me, believe in me, invest in me. And I was like, I'm just going to put my money where my mouth is. And I have an amazing team of creatives that I've been working with who are like family. And I'm actually going to ask them, can you help me? which is something I find challenging, asking for help. So it was like, you know, you can ask, and people were like, let's do this, let's go. And like, even I was laughing a few days ago thinking about the hair and makeup department, because we had quite a few ladies working with Demebi Anonzi, who was designing hair and makeup on it. And Demebi has done amazing. I'm just going to shout out everyone on this. You know, she just did Barbie. She was looking after Isla on that. She did Drunk History. She was the hair designer on that, and makeup designer, sorry, on that. And so many other amazing projects that have left me now. Silent Twins, she designed that, and so forth. And I remember saying to her, she was like, some of the girls want to come back on set. I was like, I don't have money. She was like, they're just having so much fun. They just love it. And I'm like, but I can't pay them. You know, I don't have any more budget. But just being able to tell the story of The Perfect Night, which serves kind of as a proof of concept for a TV series, and do that with people I love, that's my highlight.
Yeah.
That's my highlight right now. I'm living in that highlight. We're doing festival season right now. And we're at Essence in 2 weeks' time. And I'm like gassed. I'm like, let's go.
Gassed is really good. Wow. Have you ever been to Essence?
Never. I am ready to eat shrimp.
I went in 2019.
New Orleans, went, baby.
It is Super Bowl for Black women. They are not joking. It's like everything in one weekend, from like music to parties to vibes and food and New Orleans. And yeah, it's just such a wonderful time, and you can just feel Black people, Black peopling in the best way. It's so much fun. I think, yeah, it's going to be really great.
A melanin takeover. I am so, like, I'm so ready. Like, I'm like, take me now. you know, I'm so excited. But yeah, that's one of the festivals we're going to be at in a couple weeks' time. And I would say the perfect night right now is my highlight. And in 6 months, will probably be the project that I'm working on at the time. There's a lot of stuff I've worked on. And I'm like Drunk History, I'm so proud of that. And to be asked to assemble a team of Black British creatives to tell Black history was such a privilege to be able to like spearhead that and ask some of the most creative actors I know and work with my friends again. And it's just, it was a dream to see our ancestors' stories told, but from, you know, and you almost, like, there was so much pressure from the heads of departments because they wanted to honor our ancestors. They wanted to honor Mary Seiko, Yaa Santiwa, Sons of Africa. You know, they really had Len Johnson. They really wanted to honor them. And so being able to work with people who aren't just doing it to check, they're doing it because this is for our children. This is, we stand on their shoulders, essentially. You can't put a price on that.
Absolutely. In the Drunk History, how drunk are it? And even rewind, not that you did. I'm like, how many? At what point do people stop drinking?
They do not. They do not until we cannot take it. One of us to go home with our exec producer, one to her filming because she was gone. They get as drunk as they want to get, and we have a medic on site to attend to them. We get lit and they give us their drink of choice, and the drinks just keep on rolling and rolling until they roll. So it's all real. Like, they drink until they don't want to.
What I really love about Drunk History is that it is important work, you know, telling our own stories, but doing it our way. You know, doing it our way, because we get lady or whatever it is, like we do like to do that. So it's just really cool to be able to evolve as Black creatives. It really is cool to be able to do what it is we want to do. Okay, yeah, like I really appreciate that part. But also congratulations on the perfect night. I'm just going to segue into that. And how did you come up with that, like the ideation? Like, is that the story that you, and is that a story that you want to tell, and what is the story, the story behind the story, I guess, that you found it?
So The Perfect Night is based loosely on true events. And it's basically following the life of a character called Ali, who goes on a blind date set up by her friend. She's a hopeless romantic, and it ends up being a magical night with a little surprise, you know. And actually, The Perfect Night is part of a wider series, which is called Ali, which is essentially like the Black Bridget Jones or the Black Emily in Paris, if you want to use that as a comparison, based on me. And based on my hopeless or hopeful love life. And it kind of follows this young Black Ghanaian woman who is navigating dating, navigating love, navigating her identity, all with a couple of, you know, je ne sais quoi's going on, life decisions, big life decisions. Mm-hmm. But she's a late bloomer. And so I had been trying to write the pilot for about a year and a half at the time. And then I had this date and it was magical. And I just was like, actually, this could play as a scene. from Ali, and so I just started writing, and I got The Perfect Night, and it was quite easy to write the film, but also try and expand to give people an idea of the world that the TV show would be set in, and how Ali would be coming across. And I very early on knew I wanted Jessica Alain to play Ali. I had seen her in The Laundromat, with Nonzo, playing his daughter, and I found her phenomenal. And I was like, she's dark skinned, she's beautiful, and I wish I saw a Black British woman or girl growing up that looked like her on my screen. And so she was filming a series called The Continental, which comes out in September on Peacock. And which meant because of COVID, we had to keep pushing back filming. And so I waited a while, but she, there's no one else I can see playing this character but her. And yeah, that's kind of how The Perfect Night came together. And so I used my life savings, ladies.
Wow, I was about to ask about the funding.
Did touch on it, but I've always thought that if there's something that you should invest in, it should be your dream and yourself. So I personally told me in your description of it, I can't wait to watch it. I really feel like I relate a lot to Ellie,
And
and
it's a rom-com,
yeah, like,
right? It's like a
and
rom-com.
it's a rom-com. I am a sucker for, so yeah, but I think so much of what's on screen now that has to do with the Black experience can be so heavy. So it's always nice to just, be in a space where we're exploring different stories that don't only center Black pain, and we're seeing like what Black love looks like, or even if it's not Black love, just like a focus on us in different aspects, whether we're the heroes or the villains. So yeah, I can't wait to see the full thing in the entire series, but it's really exciting.
And to speak to your point, my sisters, we come in so many different forms. Trauma is not the only form that we come in as Black women. We are so complex and diverse in our Blackness. And I feel so excited about being able to present a character that is just navigating this as her life. You know, she's got her work stuff going on. She's got, all of these different things happening, but we're not pulling on the trauma card. I'm tired of the trauma card. And also, there is a time, and there was a season, and there is always a time to tell the stories of, oh, my life, I had a fight. You know, that is not always the stories that Black women needs to be reflected as. We can be soft, and we can be strong, and we can be vulnerable, and we can be leaders, and we can be followers. We can be all of these things. And so being able to paint this female who comes from a middle class background and is discovering her Blackness in an all white area in secondary school and primary school, and then she finds her tribe, and she's, discovering herself. And I'm excited to tell this story. It's time. I'm tired. It's time.
And in creating your character, the main girl, Ali, how much of yourself is in it, and then what did you draw on to, like, who is this person? Who is this person of Jill?
Yeah, she, I mean, Ali as a character is very similar to me. She's goofy. She's always missing the mark. Missing the cues. And she's really a hopeless romantic. She everything is sort of romanticized, and this idea of this Disney concept of love is something she holds near and dear. And you kind of see that throughout her stories, that no matter what love presents, she goes into every situation as hopeful and as bountiful and as full on her journey. But she's also had to be very strong, and a lot of the series covers some of my life experiences, like losing my mom, losing a lot of the female figures in my life from a very young age, and her navigating how to, become a black woman in a space where the black women that anchored her aren't around. And so we touch on so many different things. And it's an exciting piece for me because it will be my soul on screen, essentially.
Yeah.
But there are lots of similarities with us, with the character and my life. I'm really pulling on authentic, real kind of vulnerable experiences to, you know, hopefully connect with other black women. I'm making this show for you women, like I'm making this for us, and I'm quite unapologetic about that at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm not making it for anyone else. Yeah.
We will be.
I can't wait. At this point, I can't wait. Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed it's right now in 11 or 12 minutes. Is that like the
perfect night? Yeah. So it's okay. 11 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a short story? What's the format? Like, is it all, is it going to be something bigger?
So the perfect night is like the proof of concept, essentially. Yeah. So that's kind of a teaser taster. So okay. It stands as
short,
but it also is a proof of concept for the show. And so right now we are working on the pilot episode.
Okay.
Which is the 8-part series. Yeah.
All right. 8 parts. Yes. Okay, cool. Okay.
Okay, cool. I mean, okay, well, now that we, you know, it kind of actually also segues into the next question around just, you know, what you found the most surprising in your work in film and being a filmmaker, like in your context as a black woman in the UK.
What have I found most? I'm always surprised. I'm joking. I feel like I may be the opposite. Nothing surprises me anymore. I think the landscape is changing. I think the last couple of years since BLM, there have been a lot of opportunities here for Black creatives and that are being carved out. I think ultimately what is surprising is the lack of commissioners who are Black in the UK. And the commissioners are the ones that really understand and can shape the content. You know, and essentially green light the content to be made. And so what surprises me is that, what surprises me is the lack of cinematic releases that we've had that are British, telling British stories by British creatives and writers, Black British creatives and writers. I think that's the part where sometimes I'm like, how, Sway? I'm like, how are we still counting on one hand how many as we've had that are led by Black British cast, a writer, director, producer, you know, and I can think of a couple like The Last Tree, Pirates, Boxing Day, but they are few and far between. And I think a big part of that is giving young producers the space to grow and understand how to produce feature lengths and how to produce TV shows, and not throwing people in because it's a tick box for diversity. It's about nurturing the talent and giving them the tools they need to succeed and not fail in those spaces. So I think that's what surprises me. But I think we're getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah.
We are getting, yeah.
And the community, how... is there a community? Is there like film, like, you know, film organizations, I guess, that are committed to helping? Or is it just a community of just filmmakers trying to make their way, hustling? Like, are there any resources? Because I'll just speak to us here. Yeah. There are funding organizations, they are, but I mean, there could be a lot more sort of just education, there could be a lot more funding, there could be a lot more money, there's a lot of corruption. So I'm just wondering, what is the filmmaking and the Black filmmaking community like in the UK? Also, that's like the white people's country, it's like English place, like, and so how How far is the divide even, you know?
It's a hard question to ask without getting cancelled.
Oh.
Answer. Yeah, I'm joking. Now, in terms of community, 100%, there is a community. There's a tribe here. I know there are people I can call on, and I can be like, I've got this idea. Can you connect me with X? There is a community, 100%. There are organizations like We Are Parable is one that I will shout about, who have, for the last 10 years, really supported a lot of emerging and established Black talent in the UK. And they're doing great work with championing and getting organizations to also open their doors and give us access. So I can only speak to We Are Parable personally. They have championed my film. They took it to Jamaica. They took it to Colombia a few months ago. And I've just seen how they've loved on me and supported me as a creative. And so I can definitely speak to them. And I know so many people who have also had that experience with them too. In terms of funding and wider bodies, there's a reason why I self-finance my shorts. And even with my experience as a producer for the years that I and the stuff I've done, I still get rejections. I still get no's. I still get, you need to do something before we can, give you an opportunity. So I just can't really speak to that. Honestly, we can talk about
Okay,
it
no, absolutely. I get it.
offline. We can talk
Yeah.
about that
And I
offline.
guess it's a good thing we're running out of time, actually. So, because, yeah.
I was actually just about to say, so I know we touched on it before, more in film, but are there any UK shows that we should be on the lookout for? Yeah, outside of Ally and the Perfect Night. Yeah.
I would say Dreaming Whilst Black is coming out in a couple months by Jani Salman. It is a black male's gaze just navigating life in London, and he stars in it, he co-wrote it, and that's coming out on BBC. It's a co-pro with A24, and in the US it'll be on Showtime. So that is the show that I'm plugging and telling everyone to go and watch and support Jani Salman.
And do you know
Yeah.
when The Perfect Night we can expect like a release? Do you know that?
So for now, we're doing the festival circuit for the year.
For
So
this.
for the next year, we're just doing the festival circuit and working in the shadows
All right.
on the show. Yeah.
So you don't have a projection of when the series itself is gonna come out?
Not
You
yet.
don't. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna do the next question in that, outside, the show that you told us about, what is there anything that you're watching that you're really enjoying right now? Yeah, like what are your shows? What's your
Yeah.
jam?
I just finished Beef, which was
Oh,
amazing.
yeah.
It was a really great series to dive into. I really enjoyed Beef. And I am currently watching The Silo on Apple. We've got one finale episode left in the series. Other shows I've really enjoyed this year is Bad Sisters by Sharon Horgan has been remarkable. I really, really enjoyed that. And trying to think, what else have I got on my
That's a meaty list too. Yeah.
I'm waiting for Black Mirror to come out. I'm really looking for.
Is that coming out anytime soon? Because the last one was that the American one, if I'm not.
Coming out this month.
Oh wow. Okay. No, that's dope.
Always it's definitely felt like these last few years are just an extended Black Mirror episode.
Right.
So
I
see what they're gonna
Right,
have put.
it's really interesting to see what this
Absolutely.
and I'm really liking this is my favorite question though, but who is your favorite Black woman character or filmmaker, and how has that influenced your work?
Ava DuVernay, I would say, is someone that I love. Her work as a producer and as a director, I love the testimony that people give of how she works and her creating a culture of love on set as well. I really enjoyed Queen Sugar, and also what she did in terms of profiling female directors across the series. So yeah, I'd say she is someone that I definitely have a lot of admiration for and love in terms of actresses, black female actresses. Sheila Atim, I love. Letitia Wright, I loved pieces. There's so many black British female talent that is, you know, the gems. Jessica Relaine, you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of black female
characters, whether it's your favorite series or books or whatever.
Annalise Keating, I'd say, is probably one of my favorite characters. I really liked how complex she was. I really enjoyed How to Get Away with Murder. And another sort of black character, I'd say that I love what they represent. More recently would be The Little Mermaid and Chloe, and just being able to go and watch that the other day with my son and my nieces and just see them on the edge of their seats smiling. That was magical, like it's priceless. You know, so I would say Chloe and Shuri as well from Black Panther. I would say that they embody something that I never thought I'd see in my generation on screen, and it's so exciting to see these characters birthed and inspiring young audiences without even realizing it. For them, it's their norm.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was really cool. Let's definitely catch up when we have watched it. Do you want us to do the thing that we do, which is rate?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Do you want us to write it? Do you want us to write it? To watch it? Okay. It goes through our whole thing because we have a whole criteria.
Yeah, 100%, please.
Okay, cool. No, that's cool. Let's do that then. Let's do that. And it would be nice to actually do that in the presence of the actual creator of the show we're watching. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's try and check that.
Cool. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for reaching out the time and for sending things and for doing the work that you do. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.